Hallelujah. Well, if the Lord wills, we're going to have an altar call today. I'm telling you up front because I believe there's some things that God wants to break off of His people. I need God's deliverance in my own life. I need God to set me free. At times we get stuff on us, or can may even be in us. And God wants to free us. He wants His people to be free. Jesus Christ overcame the world. Jesus Christ has been given the name that is above every name. Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness. Jesus Christ has overcome every demon, amen? Every principality, every fallen angel. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And He says, go in my name and set captives free. Drive these things out in my name, He said. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what we do. Because God is able and God has called us. You know, see, our authority doesn't come from self, but it comes from Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Jesus gives us authority over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by no means hurt you, He said. When He sent His disciples out, He says, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about anything. Just know that I am backing you up. And if you go in my name, I want to demonstrate that I am the Lord, amen, that I am the Messiah. And so we do the same thing today. And guess what? God confirms His word with accompanying signs. Yeah. You know, folks, we need to get mad at the devil. We need to quit tolerating his stuff, putting up with it. God wants you to know who you are. If you would open your Bibles today to Isaiah 53. In verse 3, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. This is a scripture that many of us are very familiar with and is speaking of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We were just talking about a little bit of this morning, how Jesus didn't come in king's palaces, riding on king's horses. He didn't come wearing the clothing of rulers, but Jesus came as a humble baby. Amen. Really a servant of servants and a carpenter's son born in a manger. Our God is the God of the underdog. And He became low that we might be exalted with Him someday. Now, if He had come as a reigning king the first time, then people would not be able to identify with Him. And also, the Bible says that He is able to identify with us or sympathize with us because of what He suffered. And so whatever you're going through today, Jesus knows all about it. He's walked this world. He knows what it's like to be a man. So God Himself knows our weakness. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears. He knows the things that we deal with daily. He can empathize with us. And as a matter of fact, He's experienced the sufferings, amen, of the world so that He would be a faithful high priest to us, a high priest that can identify with us. You know, the things that you and I experience in life are often, they often happen because God wants us to be able to help other people. You ever had somebody minister to you who had been where you've been in your situation? And they could minister to you with empathy because they've been there and they've tasted that. And they had a greater compassion and understanding of what you're going through and a desire to see you also set free. You know, folks, sometimes I see how the devil has destroyed so many people and so many people's lives, and including all the things that the devil has done to me and throughout my life, especially growing up. That it makes me angry when I see him tormenting somebody. It makes me want to deal with it and to deal with that devil and to get rid of him and to see people set free. So God is here to set you free today. Whatever it is you're struggling with, God is here to set you free. And but you have to respond to his voice. You have to listen to his voice. Now, this speaks of Jesus and his sufferings, but listen to this in verse 3. He is despised and forsaken, or what? rejected. Rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's a scripture that we quote all the time, don't we? Especially if we're praying for the sick. We will claim this promise that by his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered for us. He took our place so that we could be set free, so that we could be healed, so that we could be delivered. But it says that he is despised and rejected by men. Now, I want to talk about rejection today because rejection is something that every one of us has to deal with. Every one of us in this room have experienced rejection. And God wants us to know the purpose of it and how to be free and how to overcome it. Jesus was rejected on purpose. It was the plan. Why? Because mankind was not going to receive the truth. If you and I decide to live for truth, it's going to mean rejection by the world or the people that don't want the truth. And so we need to understand that there is a purpose in rejection. And it's not so much what happens to me as how I handle it. You're going to be rejected. How many have been rejected growing up? I don't think there's hardly a hand that didn't go up. Somebody didn't feel rejected. How many know what it's like to be in the lineup at school? And maybe you were one of those people that got picked first. Or maybe you were one of those people that got picked last. Now, generally, when people pick somebody out for the team, they're picking out the best first. Would you agree? So how did you feel if you got picked last? I usually didn't get picked last, but I wasn't usually first either. I was somewhere in the middle. But I know what it's like to be last and to feel rejection because I'm just not good enough or I don't measure up. You ever feel that way? Now, again, people don't pick the first people because they're not good, but because they are good or they are the best pick. But, you know, this is the cool thing with God is that God picks the last often. He picks up the one that nobody else wanted. And he uses them for his glory. Now, some of the things we experience in life are a result of our own choices. But there are many things that we experience in life that we have no control over. A child that is molested had no control over that. They wouldn't have chosen that, but it happened anyways. And sometimes because of things that have happened to people in their life that they had no control over, a stronghold has been developed in their life. A spirit has come into them and has tormented them through their life. But you know, Jesus Christ has overcome. Jesus Christ has all authority. He has the name above every name. And in his name, he wants to set you free from those things that have tormented you all of your life. And he has the power to do it. And so God is the kind of God who he chooses the despised things, the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. You know why? Because God doesn't want any flesh glorying in his presence. He doesn't want us to take the credit for what he's doing. Because it's God who does it, but he can't use somebody who's full of themselves. We can't be a vessel for God if we're full of ourselves. We can't be a vessel for God if we're making it all about us. And it's not about Jesus. So God has to take us through sometimes the process of bringing us into a place of humility and brokenness. and to the end of ourselves and to the end of self-confidence. So now we're in a place where we can be confident in Him and find our grace from Him, amen, and not from self. Sometimes we give ourselves grace, but the only grace that is acceptable to God is the grace of God. You see, we can give ourselves a break. We can think we're doing pretty good, but the real question is what does God think about it? Not how do I think about it, but what does God think? Is your heart really right with God? Or are you giving yourself grace? Sometimes we give ourselves grace because we're doing so good at the moment. When you're up, you know, everything's going your way, it's easy to just kind of get on cruise control and, you know. But often we're most vulnerable when we're in that place because we become self-confident. And when we're self-confident and we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of Jesus. So God needs broken, empty, yielded vessels that He can fill. And when He does that and they're in the position where their hearts are in true humility, then God can raise you up and trust you with the greater riches of the kingdom. And so if you feel like you've been downtrodden in your life, that you've gotten the heel of everything, you've been the last in line, you've never won the lotto. I hope you're not playing it, by the way. But, you know, you ever feel that way? It's just, I never win anything. I never, you know, I'm always, well, it may be that God has got His hand on you and He's trying to get you to a place where you're going to find your life in Him now. He has to wean us off ourselves so that we can be a vessel of honor. Is this making sense? The world says you have to esteem yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. And a lot of the church has got a hold of that philosophy and brought it in. Well, you just have low self-esteem. No, your problem is pride. Why? Because if we're esteeming ourselves and then we fall short of the standards we set for ourselves, guess what? We're just mad at ourselves. We're disappointed with ourselves. Well, if you got your eye on yourself, you're not going to do the will of God. As long as we are focused on self, we cannot do the will of God. Jesus didn't live for Himself. Jesus completely denied Himself. He lived only for the Father, only for the Father's will. And in that, He found His life. Amen? He found His bread, His satisfaction in the will of His Father, doing the will of His Father. He was not about Himself. He said, I didn't come to be served, guys. I've come to serve you. I've come to do the will of my Father and to complete the work He's given me to do. And if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose yourself, you lose your life. For my sake and the gospel, you'll find it. So if you feel like you've been a reject in life, be of good cheer. Because God uses the reject and He raises them up. Come on. And He sets them on high. God takes you from rejection to acceptance. You remember the song, Amazing Love, How Can It Be That You, My King, Would Die For Me? It says, I'm accepted because you were rejected. I'm accepted because you, Jesus, was rejected for us. He was despised and rejected for us. Are we willing to be despised and rejected for others? Are we willing to be despised and rejected for God? Are we willing? If we can understand the purpose of it, if we can understand the value of it, then we can rejoice instead and say, hey, guess what? I'm dying to myself. That's a good thing. When I'm no longer getting bent out of shape because I didn't get picked first. I didn't have the biggest piece of cake, you know? I didn't get recognized. I didn't get noticed. When you can rejoice in the Lord and say, it doesn't matter. It's not about me anyways. Do you understand? The problem is we're too focused on ourselves. And that's why we're so bent out of shape about all this stuff. We are born naturally with an inclination to want to be God. That's the fallen nature. The fallen nature wants to be God, wants to be its own God, and wants to be esteemed by men. You see, Jesus was validated by the Father. He didn't need the validation of men. His Father is the one who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm pleased with you. You're my Son." If you didn't have an earthly father that ever validated you, you have a heavenly Father that says, "You're my son, you're my daughter. I'm the one that validates you. Don't seek it from man, because man will let you down. Even well-meaning people let you down. Even people that love you let you down. But God will not let you down. He is a father to the fatherless. Even the strongest among us can fall prey if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant. We don't stay awake. You know, in the cyber world, you got all these hackers and scammers that are out there, you know, trying to break in, and they're doing it. They're breaking into our military, you know, and discovering our secrets, and they're breaking into bank accounts and into, you know, banking systems. And the United States spends billions of dollars. I heard one figure is like $76 billion a year just fighting cyber malware and hackers, just to have security. You know, when we hurt ourselves, if you cut yourself, it's no mystery, but, you know, years ago they didn't understand about germs. And they're wondering why people got sick like they did. Today we have a little bit more of an education about how you can protect yourself. If you were to cut yourself, you have to keep that wound clean. You need to clean it up, and you need to put some antibiotic ointment on there to fight off any bad germs that want to get there. Well, these germs, amen, they're everywhere, lurking in the dark, are looking for a vulnerable place to get in our bodies, amen. Likewise, the demons are looking for vulnerabilities in you and I, and they will target wounds in our lives. Places that we have not been healed. Those are the areas where we're vulnerable to demonic infestation, for the purpose of dominating your life and destroying you and taking you out. And as believers in Jesus Christ, there's a reason why the devil's even after us. Because he wants us to compromise and open doors to him. Because in the areas where we have sympathy towards evil, we make ourselves vulnerable to the demons to infest. We may be doing good over here, but if we're denying God over here access, if we're not being obedient to God over in this area, guess what? Wherever you have sympathy for the devil, he's going to camp out. Now, it may not seem like a bad thing at first. He's just going to get his foot in the door. He's going to kind of park in that little area of rebellion, you know. But then he's waiting for you to compromise again and again. And every time you compromise, guess what? He's bringing more in. Come on, boys. We got a spot over here where they're unwilling to yield and obey the Lord. And in those areas where the enemy sets up camp, they're called strongholds. God wants to break the strongholds of the enemy. Those beachheads that he's established in our lives, because God wants his people to be free. But we can't be set free if we have rebellion in our hearts. We can't be set free if we're unwilling to yield to the Spirit of God and obey his voice. Amen. As long as we are showing sympathy to the devil, we are giving access to him to destroy our lives. That's why God says, "Obey me. Obey me." Why? Because he's mean? No, because he loves you. He knows what's best for us. You want to be a punk for the devil? That's your choice. You want him to hook the strings up to you and use you like a puppet? That's your choice. You see, you're in charge of your own life. You're in charge of your own life. God says, you either choose to obey me or you can go your own way. It's up to you. I want you to obey me because I want to bless your life. and I want to set you free. But if you choose to go your own way, it's your choice. Wounds are access points for spiritual infection. Rejection is a place where the enemy gets in. It's a port of entry, if you will, for him to come in and destroy us. Jesus himself had to overcome rejection. You understand? Jesus suffered in the flesh. He was despised and he rejected, but he did it for us. But he had to overcome it. He could not allow the rejection of men to control him. So many of us are controlled. I've been, you've been controlled by the opinions of men. Because we don't want to be rejected. So when we're in school, when we're growing up, and the kids are all picking on somebody. Well, I said, how many ever done that? He said, well, I better get on the same bandwagon, otherwise they may be looking at me to pick on. What is that? Fear of rejection will cause people to do all kinds of crazy stuff. People that get caught up in the crowd mentality, where there are riots in the streets, folks, a lot of that is just, I want to be part of something and I don't want to be the reject, so I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon. And they go down and they talk to lots of people on the street. It says, so why are you out here? And maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but so many people can't even tell you why they're there. There was just something going on, or I'm getting on the bandwagon, what everybody else is doing, I'm going to do. Or we heard something and we didn't really check it out that good, you know. And it seemed right. So, okay, yeah, it sounds like a good cause. I'll get on this bandwagon too. So often, folks, we are controlled by the fear of man. What do people think? What is God saying? Get over what people think. Get over it. It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God says, what God thinks. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, you're going to have to get over the opinions of men. You're going to have to get over what people think about you. So many of us are slaves to what people think. And we live our lives trying to please people and keep everybody happy around us because of fear of being rejected. And the reason for that is because there is a wound that has not been healed in your life. And so you're trying to fill it up with all kinds of things and relationships and people. And you keep running into bad situations and bad relationships because the rejection is still there. You haven't been healed. God wants to heal you. There is a spirit of rejection. There is a demonic spirit that will infest people. They'll get in their life and they'll live as a reject. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I'm not important. And you live your life like that. That is a lie from the pit. God validates you. God says you're valuable. God says you're worthy. You are worthy of the blood of my son. That's how valuable you are. Your value is not in what people say. It's in what God says. It's not about esteeming yourself. It's about believing God. Can we smile at people that reject us? Can we bless somebody who curses us? I tell you this many times when I'm up here and after the service, somebody beelines for me. And there's nobody there to run interference. And I'm like, okay, God, here we go. Armor up. Here it comes. But when you got the armor of God on and you're full of the Spirit, amen, it's just kind of like you can just smile and say, well, thank you for sharing with me today. I'll prayerfully consider what you have to say. And if they're right, I will. If they're right, I will. But you understand, we cannot live by the opinions of men and serve the Lord if we're centered on ourselves. Now in Hebrews 11 verse 32, here we have the hall of faith, you know, I just want us to look at a couple examples here. Actually, one primary, but let's read this from verse 32 through 38. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And they are the ones that were mentioned here, the honorary mention of the Hall of Faith, of the faithful that were mentioned, and so many more that are not mentioned, of course. Everybody will face rejection. And sometimes, folks, we can allow rejection to fester in us to the point that it becomes the dominant aspect of our personality. Are you with me? The enemy likes to come along and just tell you how rejected and how useless and how worthless you are. And if we start listening to the wrong voice and we not start listening to the right voice, we're going to start believing a lie about ourselves. And once you start believing a lie about yourself, you'll start living a lie. What you believe about yourself is going to be how you will live your life. How many have discovered that to be true? Rejection will beat a person down. It'll just beat you down. People go to great lengths to avoid being rejected. Folks, I'm talking out of personal experience here. This has been my experience. Every friend that I had growing up, all my close friends, who I thought were my friends, had forsaken me, had done things, had betrayed me. People that I thought I could trust betrayed me. And so I became angry and bitter and distrustful of anybody. And I wasn't going to allow that to happen to me anymore. So I shut myself into this prison of myself where I tried to put up these fake and false walls. And so that nobody's going to touch me. And a lot of people do the same thing. They use their anger to control people around them so that they don't get hurt. All it is a smoke screen to try to hide what's really going on. Guys that act have to act tough because inside they're just scared. And they don't want to be touched. They don't want to be hurt. So they got to act a certain way so that people don't mess with them. Or at least they feel that would be the case. You can't stand up on the outside unless you're standing up on the inside. Amen. You can only fake it for so long. Because of fear of rejection, people will abandon their values and standards. How many have done that? In order to gain acceptance into a group or maintain that acceptance. Whether it was at school or at work or among friends. How many have compromised their morals because of fear of rejection? How many young ladies have given up their virginity because they were fearful of being rejected by the guy who said he claimed that he loved her? How many people have gotten into drugs and alcohol in order to be accepted? I mean, when I grew up, where I grew up, everybody was doing it. I don't think there was any kids that weren't doing it. And it was like, I didn't want to be the reject. I didn't want to be the, you know, the ugly duckling. So I had to conform in order to fit in. And so because of fear of rejection, I went against things that I knew in my heart at the time were wrong. How many people have suffered a lifetime of consequences because you wanted to fit in? Because you didn't want to be rejected? How many are still paying the price today for decisions you made years ago because you wanted to fit in? How many people are hooked on tobacco simply because you wanted to be cool? Or you wanted to, you know, appear grown up? So you started smoking. Well, you didn't intend to be hooked on that. You just wanted to fit in, and now you're hooked on it. Now God can set you free, and you should seek that freedom. Come on, somebody. God loves you too much to leave you in that. God can set you free. You got to trust Him. Don't lean upon yourself. Don't trust in your own ability, your own strength. He's got enough power to do it. He can break every chain. The fear of man, in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare. How many of us have been trapped because of that? Folks, I'm willing to bet that even this morning among us, there are some of us who are struggling to this day with rejection. And because of that, you live your life for other people, for what they expect of you and not for what you know is right. How many? We even do it in church. We do things just because other people are doing it. It may not even be God's will for you, but because you don't want to look like you're the oddball, you just do it anyways. Come on. People try to copy other people in church. People try to copy other people's gifts because they don't know who they are and they're not receiving their validation from God. So they think, if I just have what Joe has over here, then I'll be accepted and I won't be a reject. And so you live out of that wound of rejection and you do things that are not who you are. How many people are hypocrites? What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, again, is putting on an image that's not true. It's presenting an image of yourself that's not true to who you are. We've all done it out of fear of rejection. There was a man named Jephthah that's mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Judges chapter 11, I want us to take a look at this man. He was severely rejected. He was a man that was born out of wedlock, and his mother was a harlot. She was a hooker. And not only did he have that against him, probably on the playground growing up, but in the society that he was in, especially among the Jews, that was a taboo. You weren't to have any fellowship in the assembly if you were an illegitimate child. And so here's a guy who was rejected, but he finished well and he received the honorary mention in Scripture. So just because you might have been born into a situation that you had no control over doesn't mean you have to live there or stay there. See, what God does is He turns rejection into acceptance. He turns it around. And He looks for rejected people. Thank God. Amen? He chose you and I. Now Jephthah, verse 1, chapter 11 of Judges, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. But he was a son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out. These are half-brothers. And said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men, hear that, worthless men, banded together with Jephthah, and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. Verse 5, and so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, listen, that the elders of Gilead went to who? Jephthah, from the land of Tob. And then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander." So here are the people that rejected him, are now calling on him to come and help, that we might fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" Isn't it interesting how God turns things around? Yeah. Jesus said, "Many that are first will be last, and many that are last will be first." And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Wow. Now they want to make him chief. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" Question. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Isn't that interesting? Here was a man that was rejected. And now the very people that reject him are submitting to him. You understand that's what happened with Jesus. He was despised and rejected. But now he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And he is coming again. And he's not coming again to be flogged, to be spit on, to be mocked. He's coming this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He's coming. The rejected one, God has highly exalted. If you understand, your validation is not to come from man who may reject you, but from your Father in heaven. If your Father validates you, you'll have confidence in your God and know, even though people reject me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think about me anymore. What matters is that it's okay between me and my Father in heaven. Amen? And maybe you had an earthly father that was absent or not there. Or maybe he was cruel to you. I don't know. But whatever the situation was, you need to understand you have a Father in heaven who is not like that. He loves you. He loves us first. He chooses us first. The world might have put you on number 10. You might have been the last of the lineup, but God says, "I called you. I choose you to be my own." And you don't choose what is inferior, you choose what is superior. So in God's sight, He saw value. He saw that we were precious, and He went to the cross for us so that He could buy us back from the devil. Amen? Who had legal rights to us because we sinned against God. Jesus paid the price for those sins to set us free from the devil's clutch and to redeem us. People can be mean. How about religious people? What are people doing in the name of religion today? Horrible things. Legalistic people can be meaner. Especially when they think God has told you to ostracize you. Ever had anybody think that it was their place to ostracize you because God told you to ostracize them? We have to be very careful, don't we? Because sometimes it's the person that everybody is ostracizing and everybody is rejecting is the one that's going to, that God's going to exalt. And if He's got His hand on them, you better leave them alone. We're all personally responsible for how we live our lives. We're in charge of it. You have control by the Spirit of God, amen, to behave yourself and do what God says. But we're all personally going to give an account. Our day in court is coming. Every one of us. So why don't we just take an assessment of our own selves and quit looking at everybody else around us? God, I just want to make sure it's right between you and I. And let me be an example to the others. I'm not saying that we don't address things that need to be addressed. Sometimes things happen in church where people are misbehaving and they're not repentant about it. Sometimes you have to step into that situation. Amen? Somebody say amen. That's biblical. But we have to be very careful understanding that it was only by the mercy of God that we were saved. And judgment will be without mercy to those who've shown no mercy. Jephthah was rejected and kicked out of town. And so we're also sometimes rejected because of our heights or our looks or our intelligence or our status. And these are things that we have very little control over, you know. How many would be honest with me today and say there's things about your body that you don't necessarily like? I wish I had a different nose or ears or feet or whatever it might be. Right? How many know you got to get over that stuff? There's just things that we don't like about ourselves. And sometimes we just reject ourselves as well. But God wanted you to be who you are and the way you are. He decided that you were going to be born. When you were born, you're going to be here. I mean, I know He could have stopped it. He could have taken you home, whatever. But God decided for you and I to be here even today. The good news is what man rejects, God accepts. So God had a plan. He was going to use Jephthah's rejection for good. Because rejection is either going to toughen you up or drag you down. We can receive a benefit. How many would believe there's a benefit to rejection? How many have ever achieved something because somebody rejected you? And you're going to prove them wrong. You didn't believe in me, but God believed in me. How many people have fallen who have walked with God sometimes many years and have fallen and they've been ashamed and they felt like a reject. And yet God didn't reject them. God gave them an opportunity to repent and to be healed, and to be restored. How many men have looked at them and say, oh, you scoundrel, you this, you that, and we judge and we put labels on them. Aren't you glad that God's not like that? You see, God is not willing that anyone should perish. Anyone should perish. Am I saying it's okay to misbehave? No. I'm saying that sometimes people misbehave. Amen. Anybody beside myself makes some mistakes, right? Thank God there's mercy. Thank God He doesn't reject us just because we blow it. Sometimes the only way we're going to learn is through blowing it. God says, Peter, go ahead and blow it. Go ahead and do your own thing. You're going to have to blow it before you're going to realize you can't do it without me. God says, go ahead and fail, Peter. Sometimes we have to fail over and over again. I don't like failing over and over again. I'm trying to learn the lessons quickly. It's easier that way. Lord, you're right. How many know God is always right? This word is always right. The Bible says that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. And it has become the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:7. Jesus is the foundation of the church. Amen? He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the foundation stone of the church. He was the stone that men rejected, but now has become the chief cornerstone. And there are some who believe, that's actually speaking, if you were to look at a pyramid, the capstone. He's the head of the church. And that pyramid would be modeled after a small model of the pyramid. And then if it was done correctly, when it was finished, they would take the capstone and it would go on the very top. Boom. Jesus was the stone that was rejected, but now has become the capstone. So if you feel like a reject, be of good cheer. Because God will turn rejection into acceptance, and God will raise up the rejected. Amen? But what we have to do is die to ourselves. We have to die to the opinions of men. We have to be willing to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think anymore. It can either spur you on or plow you under. It's up to you. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. When Jesus told them, before Abraham was, I am. He is the I am. What does that mean? He's God incarnate. And he's told the Jews, listen, I saw Abraham. How could you see Abraham? Because he says, before Abraham was, I am. And so they picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because you, being man, claim to be God. He was. That's John 8:59. And then finally, Jesus is before Pilate. He was there to save him. And what did they say? Away with this man. Give us Barabbas. We'd rather have a criminal. We'd rather have a thief than have him. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Folks, we're going to suffer rejection. Amen? But you cannot allow rejection to destroy you. Instead, you can use it as a stepping stone to overcome and have and walk in victory. You can use it as a means of getting to your next destination. It's either going to destroy you or build you. Here's the question. How could Jesus overcome all that rejection? How did he do it? Because he knew that he was accepted by the Father. His acceptance trumped all that rejection. It doesn't matter. You don't like me? You don't love me? My God does. My Father does. You don't accept me? God accepts me. Do we really believe that God loves us that much? Do we really believe the report that God gave of His Son? Do we really believe that it was love that put Jesus on the cross? For us, that He willingly laid down His life for us who didn't deserve it. That's the love of God. He demonstrated it for us. Amen? He's trying to tell us, listen, I love you. I love you. I died for you. So you could live. He overcame for us. So we could overcome. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. God chose you first. And when you know, folks, we didn't choose God first. For God so loved the world that He gave. Amen? Even while we were yet in sin, Christ died. God chose us first. God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Who's that? The church. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you can believe and you will receive the truth, you'll be free. If you will believe the truth that God loves you and accepts you, you will be free. If you do not believe that God loves you and accepts you, you will continue to live in rejection. Do you understand? It's believing the truth. that sets you free. And how I feel today doesn't matter. It's what does God say? Many of us had those voices all through our lives just speaking to you, telling you how worthless. Isn't it interesting that Jephthah said, all you worthless ones, come on. And they went out raiding together. They all banded together. And they became the mighty men of valor. These were mighty men. The rejects are the ones that they started to call and say, hey guys, we need your help now. The least likely were the ones that were going to bring them into victory. That's how God does it. Now, this is just the carpenter. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the son of Joseph? Oh, more than that. But to man, he was despised and rejected. They didn't esteem him. It says it has no comeliness that we would even desire him. Apparently, Jesus wasn't even the best looking guy, physically. So if you're ugly, you have hope, right? I look in the mirror and say, I have hope every morning. God decided to give me this body, this face, and I'm going to rejoice in it, you know? But it ain't about me anymore. Believe the truth. Acceptance overcomes rejection. Let's say that together. Acceptance overcomes rejection. You get it? Acceptance overcomes rejection. Are you accepted today? I'd like to ask everybody to bow your head just for a moment. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means if we have never repented of our sins, then we have fallen short of God's glory. Jesus says, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom. If you've never been born again, you won't see the kingdom. You won't be in heaven. You must be born again. You need to understand something that Jesus has made available to you and to I today. Forgiveness of sins. That means that God is willing to completely blot out all of your failures, all your shortcomings, all of the sins of the past, all the wrong things we've done. He is willing to actually blot those out completely, to give you a clean slate, to wipe them all away, to wash you clean, and make you a new creation. But there's only one thing. If you are not willing to turn away from your sin and to turn away from yourself, then there can be no mercy. There can be no forgiveness. Why is that? Because you and I cannot come before a holy God with sin. So if there's sin in your life today, you need to today settle it before God. And the Bible says if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you right where you're at to make your peace with God, to confess those sins. The Spirit of God is moving on you right now. He's already told you. You just need to confess it to God and you need to turn away from it. You need to renounce it. If you're living in sexual sin, you need to repent. That means you need to stop it immediately. And you need to confess it before God. And you need to turn away. If you do so and you mean business in your heart, God will forgive you. He'll cleanse you from that. If you refuse to, then you'll go before the judgment with that sin. And you will not stand in the judgment. The Bible's very clear about that. Sexual sin will bar you from heaven. There are many other things. God is revealing it to you today. You need to be honest with God. You need to come clean. If you confess it before Him right now, name it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn away from this. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. I ask you to wash me in your blood. And I ask you to come into my heart. and save me. Lord, I ask you to deliver me from fear and rejection. And right now I command the spirits of fear and rejection to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear and of rejection, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out right now. Come out right now. The Lord rebuke you. Lord, I receive. Let's say it together. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And seal me for your courts above. In Jesus' name. I am forgiven. And I am accepted by the Father. Now go and sin no more. Hallelujah. God bless you.